The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Aaron Rodgers does not want to return to the Green Bay Packers.
Never been about the draft pick. I love Jordan. He's a great kid.
This is about Jordan Love. This is about 2020.
Tuesday is here, and there was no sign of Aaron Rodgers.
He needs every rep he can get right now. He can learn something from both the good and the bad.
And it didn't go all that well. In fact, it was probably the least accurate day that we've seen from Love.
And this is a 500 team. If Jordan Love is good, which we don't know, and the Packers don't even know,
what a time to be Jordan Love. Pressure mounting daily with the real possibility that Love starts game one of the 2021 season for the Packers against the Saints. You're looking at Love right there back on the field at camp today. In a couple minutes, details on how he looked today. But first, Love spoke with the media for the first time since last August. He was asked if he's ready to go day one. Here's what he said.
100%. Obviously, this is a time where, you know, I'm getting a lot of extremely valuable reps that, you know, I might not have been getting in a normal circumstance. So, I'm going to take it day by day. And, that's what I'm here for. I was drafted here to play quarterback. So, I'll definitely be ready week one.
Adam Schefter, Dan Orlovsky here for the hour. Tim Hasselbeck moments away as well. Adam, we start with you. How is Love viewed within the organization at this point?
Well, Laura, he had a great day today. If you read the accounts from Rob Domofsky, our Packers beat writer, Jordan Love lit it up at practice today. And I think here's the issue. You're going to see everything that Jordan Love does at practice documented throughout the summer or until Aaron Rodgers does or doesn't get back there. Every move he makes will be incredibly scrutinized. We're going to be asking on a daily basis how the organization views him today, now, short-term, long-term, for this season. And so this is just part of the territory that comes with a very difficult assignment of being next in line after Aaron Rodgers, which in this case means playing and taking the snaps and reps with the ones at mandatory minicamp today and this week.
Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, it's important to understand for Jordan Love that this is a football team that is built to take on a young quarterback that is needing development. This is a football team that's got one of the best offensive lines in the game, a top five run game, a pretty diversified skill position group, one of the best receivers in football, and what they believe is a hopefully improving defense. So you're talking about a situation that, let's live in the world where Aaron Rodgers does not play for Green Bay. Jordan Love is not going to be tasked and or asked to do a ton of stuff. He's going to be more of the point guard to operate the offense and not have a lot of demand with a subpar roster. I think a lot of pressure falls on Matt LaFleur, their head coach and play caller, because, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur was allowed to operate in a situation of strength, right? It's like talking to Usain Bolt about sprinting. You could talk about stride length and frequency and power and ankle flexion with a guy like that. But going to Jordan Love is like going to be talking about it with a newborn toddler that's just learning to walk. You're going to have to go back in time as a coach and go over the basics with him. And so the challenge is going to fall upon Matt LaFleur to figure out a way to communicate and teach Jordan Love, but also try to get somewhat similar results that Aaron Rodgers was able to get.
Yeah, Dan, a newborn toddler is a really big baby. Adam, I want to follow up on something that I think has been a conversation in the league, because we've seen this have to happen recently in the Patriots situation. Replacing a legendary quarterback, it's so difficult to do. So let's say that's what happens with the Packers and they're having to replace Aaron Rodgers. What is the conversation around the league about how hard that is?
See, I always remember Bob Greasy, the Hall of Fame quarterback, saying before his son Brian took over for John Elway, that you don't want to be the guy that takes over for a Hall of Fame quarterback. And if we go and look at the notable recent teams and what they've done, look at how difficult it is to do that job and take over for a Hall of Fame quarterback. Only one team over the last 20 years has gone to the playoffs. That was the Miami Dolphins that Jay Fiedler took to the playoffs. Look at the records of those teams that lost a Hall of Fame quarterback. And so yesterday, I said that the Packers would be one of the worst teams. Oh, look, here's the deal. With Aaron Rodgers, they're one of the best. Without him, they take a big drop because you see how difficult it is to replace a quarterback that great, of that stature. It impacts so much about your organization that, again, very few teams are able to overcome that in the season after, and some take years to get back to where they would like to be.
Yeah, Adam, to your point, we have to refer to history for a lot of this as a direction. Let's bring in Rob Domofsky live from Packers camp right now. And Rob, Adam mentioned it. You know, yesterday you're detailing some of the accuracy issues Love displayed. This is just a really dramatic saga here, particularly in the two-minute drill. But how did Love look today?
Yeah, Laura, watch him one day and he looks like he's light years away from being ready. Watch him the next and it looks like he could start right now. Such were his first 2 days of minicamp. Yesterday, he struggled with accuracy and it was mostly checkdowns. Today, he was zipping the ball all over the place. He was throwing the ball down the field. How did he turn it around so quickly?
As a quarterback, as a in any position, you got to quickly hit that reset button. Certainly, you want to have success because, again, your confidence grows and it gives you, more confidence to go out there and be consistent and make those plays. But you got to treat every day as its own entity, and you can't rest on what you did the day before, whether it's good or bad. And that's what we're looking for from him. And I think he's done a nice job responding on a daily basis.
Love was so hot at one point in practice, hitting throws all over the place, that tight ends coach Justin Outen took his play card and started fanning Love off as if to cool him off. You heard him say that he would 100% be ready to play week one and be the starter at New Orleans. Well, days like today would make the Packers agree with that. But don't forget, tomorrow is a new day, the final day of mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, we'll find out what he does tomorrow from you, Rob. And that's what we do here on the show. If someone has a hot take, we just fan them off. We do that a lot to Dan Orlovsky. We got Tim Hasselbeck here as well. We got our two quarterbacks to talk about this. And the spotlight is going to be on Love, right? Day in and day out. Adam talked about it as we await Rodgers' decision here. But how much weight do you give Love's daily performance and these updates that we're getting, Tim?
I'm not riding the roller coaster. I'm not. Listen, we want to look at, an OTA in its entirety, a mini camp, if you will, or if you want to look at a training camp in its entirety or a preseason, where you're combining four games in its entirety, sure, fine. I don't think it is a good use of any of our time to evaluate without context of seeing the actual plays, knowing the situations that they might be practicing that day in practice, to make some type of judgment if, Jordan Love is going to be ready or not based on, individual practices. I think it's premature to do that. Really good quarterbacks have bad practices, okay? Now, you string 15 of them together, maybe you have a problem. But the up and down of day to day, I think, is just way too premature. It's certainly what we're going to do, but I don't think it'll give us an indication over what type of quarterback he's actually going to be.
Yeah. I would disagree with that. I think that we could put some weight, because these are huge practices and huge performances. Coming out of college, there was a lot of potential attached to Jordan Love, but the question mark was, he's got some accuracy issues. So then he's the first quarterback since 2005 last year that doesn't start as a first-round draft pick at the position. He's not even good enough in their eyes or ready enough to be the backup quarterback. And then he gets a first mini-camp practice in the conversation as well. He looked inaccurate. Like, that is – it's because, Tim, you know this. At some point, pads come on, and guys can come and try to split your face in half when you're getting hit. So it's only going to get harder. So I want to hear the conversation of his accuracy being good. I think for Jordan Love, it's not only important to get these X's and O's reps, it is important to get the reps of some success and failure. That's life in the NFL for quarterbacks. You're going to have good days, good games, bad days, and bad games. The more reps he gets in the situational football and handling it, the better off he will be if and when September comes and he's their guy.
Yeah, I do want to point out that yesterday was really the first day that he had a chance to work with some of the number one guys, and he didn't even get to work with all of them because even guys like Devontae Adams were off to the side. So I think that factors in as well. Let's get into some more news. Today the Texans announced they will not have minicamp next week, as head coach David Culley says they got enough work done these past 4 weeks. All eyes remain still on quarterback Deshaun Watson, who has not been at the voluntary OTAs, was not expected to show up after asking for a trade in January, and of course dealing with legal issues as well. Deshaun's former teammate and current Denver Broncos safety Kareem Jackson was on the Captain Fades with Aqib Talib, had this to say about Deshaun. I've got a great relationship with Deshaun. I've been talking to him these last couple weeks, and all he's been telling me is, look, Jack, just tell him, like, that's where I want to be. I want to be in Denver. So again, Deshaun Watson, according to Kareem Jackson, saying he wants to be in Denver. Adam Schefter, what more can you tell us about the current situation with Watson?
Well, I hope that Kareem Jackson asked Deshaun Watson if he was okay saying that first. But aside from that, right, we get past that and we look at all the moves that the Houston Texans made this offseason. And what they're telling you is they're not planning on having Deshaun Watson this season or maybe ever again. Again, as that investigation goes on in Houston, as the NFL's investigation goes on, as we wait to see whether or not there will be discipline in this particular case, the Texans have acted as if they cannot count on and are not preparing to have Deshaun Watson in the future. My understanding is, of course, that they will not sell him at a discount. They will not deal him at a discount. They will look to wait until his value is in full before they make a move with him. But just look at everything that they've done this offseason. They signed Tyrod Taylor. They drafted Davis Mills with their top pick, which wasn't until later in the draft, but it was still their very first pick in the upcoming or in the past NFL draft. And then they signed Jeff Driskel, giving him $500,000 in guaranteed money. They've made enough moves at the quarterback position to tell you that they're making other plans. And I think when you talk to people around the league, they believe that the Texans will not just move on from Deshaun Watson, that they will wait until his value is almost back in whole before they make a move with him. But I think there's a league-wide assumption that Deshaun Watson very well may have played his last down with the Houston Texans.
Well, and yeah, Adam, I mean, when you think about that, it's going to take time if that value can get back to where it would have been before. That takes a long time as this legal process has to work itself out. So, guys, Dan and Tim, this is a situation where the most important thing is figuring out the legal side of this, right? But let's say Deshaun Watson really has played his last down of football as a Texan. Dan, where makes sense for him to try and go, especially considering a large amount of time that we don't know how much that's even going to be before he could play again?
Yeah, the initial thought of the same teams that have been in the conversation for potentially Aaron Rodgers. Again, the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders, and potentially the Miami Dolphins. And then the team that, if everything clears itself out, that I would keep an eye on because they need a now answer and a long-term answer would be the Washington Football Team, who again is in the NFC. If I was Houston, I would have the biggest desire, if I'm going to trade him, which I think they will, to get him to the NFC. And I think Washington is looking for their guy for the next decade.
Listen, Dan mentioned all the teams. I think if we're going to put the legal stuff behind us, I mean, the fact of the matter is Deshaun Watson, fantastic quarterback, and he's young. It would make a lot of teams better. You know, I think that getting to that point, if you think back to the Texans' unwillingness to trade him prior to any of the off-field stuff, being brought to light, you know, they weren't willing to do it then, and they were certainly would have been looking for a massive amount of compensation. So if what Adam is saying is correct in that, you know, they're not going to, they're going to wait for his value to rebound. Look, this could take quite a while for Deshaun Watson.
And Tim, when they wait for his value to be restored, basically, it may not be till after the season. Again, let's see how all these cases turn out. Let's see how the discipline works out, if there is discipline, right? And then once you get past that, maybe next offseason, it'll be a full year. It could be that Deshaun Watson, nothing's decided on his future until then. But when we talk about where he would fit, again, I think we have the same discussion with Deshaun Watson that we did with Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, and that's he would fit on 25 NFL teams. Mm. Almost everybody outside Kansas City, Buffalo, a team with a quarterback that it knows it's building around for years to come, should be reviewing that situation and making a determination about whether Deshaun Watson would or could be an upgrade over their particular current quarterback.
Yeah, and prior to the draft and everything that happened, a lot of those teams absolutely were, as Adam had reported.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Let's go to Tampa, where just about a week ago, Bruce Arians said he expected Tom Brady to be more of a coach at minicamp, but Tom apparently had other plans. Yesterday, he was full go to the point that Arians had to pull him back a few times. Pretty sure ghosts only have one speed. Brady and the Bucs will look to pick up where they left off last season as their offense surged down the stretch, ranking first or second in points per game, yards per game, and offensive efficiency from weeks 10 through 17. So major improvement right as the season went on. Brady addressed the media today. We've got some bad news for defenses. He explained just how injured he was during last season's championship run.
I had to spend a lot of time tending to that particular injury, which happens when you have something that's, you know, you need to ultimately have surgery on to get fixed. It was an injury I dealt with really, you know, since last April, May. I knew I would have to do something at the end of the year, and happy I did it. And it was probably something that was needed to be done, and there's a great outcome. So I'm very happy about that. I feel I'll be able to do some different things this year than I was able to do last year.
All right, Tim, so let me get this straight. Tom Brady knows he needs knee surgery. He's going to have to get it at the end of the season. But just, you know, plays the whole season, wins a Super Bowl at age 42. How crazy is this guy? I mean, what's going on here?
This is ridiculous. I hope people, you know, understand what he just said. So basically, April, May of 2020, he finds out, hey, I've got to have knee surgery. And then spends the year basically tending to that knee, getting it ready. You know, goes to a new team, meets new teammates, learns a new offense, goes and wins a Super Bowl, and then has surgery on that knee in February. Like, in perspective, when I was 42, I had two knee surgeries on the same knee, gained about 30 pounds, and stopped going upstairs, okay? So, like, what he has done is absolutely remarkable, and I don't know that there's ever been a player that has taken better care of their body throughout their career than Tom Brady.
And, Tim, don't sell yourself short. You really bounced back well from that.
Yeah, I really have.
I was going to go the other way. But.
Oh, come on, Dan. Don't be mean. So, Dan, a healthy Brady, they return all the starters, right? I may be asking the impossible here, but can you find me a weakness at all on this Bucs team to maybe, like, give some other teams some hope?
The comfort of time. You know, go back to last year, and you showed up those great stats week 10 through 17, but – weeks 1 through 10 were somewhat up and down, relatively ugly. We were pounding the table on our show of what they needed to do offensively, right? And what happened was, because they were in the middle of the season and they were fluttering, time forced them to make a decision. Okay, we're going to go from this offense that we're trying to run, and then we're going to do the stuff that Tom wants to do. And the offense, to your point, took off. But what they have right now is a whole offseason. That's the comfort of time. There's no reason for them to panic or go, well, we have to. And my only potential, this is a nitpick, is if the coaches or the staff sit back and go, you know what, maybe we will try the stuff that we didn't do well last year. Or maybe we will try that stuff that Bruce Arians really wanted to do. Other than that, this offense will be better. And when it comes to ability and talent, no, there is absolutely no weakness on this offense.
Yeah, it's really scary. Sal Powell did point out yesterday that Todd Bowles from the defensive side had put in a whole bunch of new stuff that Brady was trying to check out. So on defense, they're doing some different things already.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, if you're not watching the Women's College World Series, you're missing out. The atmosphere in Oklahoma City has been electric. And after Florida State's win last night, they take a 1-0 lead in the best of three Women's College World Series Championship Series. Game two tonight at 7 Eastern. Of course, all games right here on ESPN, streaming live on the ESPN app. Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-generation quarterback.
Broadway has a new star.
Welcome to the 49ers, buddy.
Justin Fields is going to be ready to take over the Chicago Bears very soon.
This is the pick for Mac Jones.
I mean, match made in heaven.
Over the last 10 seasons, there were 32 quarterbacks selected in the first round. Of those 32, 94% started in their rookie season. So the question about this year's first-round rookie quarterbacks maybe shouldn't be if they'll start, but when they'll start, right? If you draft them that high, you got to put them out there. You got to play them. So we got a couple quarterbacks with us today. And you know what? Shefty could be a quarterback, too. We thought we'd have these guys weigh in on three highly contested veteran versus rookie QB competitions to watch this year. Tim defending the vets. Dan's making a case for the rookies. Adam's making sense of it all. We'll start with the Patriots, who drafted Mac Jones with the 15th pick overall, while also bringing Cam Newton back. Tim, what does Cam Newton need to do to remain the starter in New England?
He needs to show a way better understanding of the passing game concepts in New England. Obviously really struggled a year ago. Think about it, 8 touchdowns, 10 picks, less than 2,700 yards. And really when you think about it, he's playing on backup money last year and then again this year. He's gonna have to play better than that to justify playing a veteran over a quarterback that was drafted in the middle of the first round. So that's what I think he needs to do a better job of, mainly just as a passer playing the position.
Yeah, Tim, for me, if Mac Jones is going to win this job, number one, he needs to have mastered protection operation. Understand where the pressure is going to be and then own it. And then also be deadly with his ball placement. This is going to be a football team that's really good running the football. If Mac Jones can handle the blitzes and then place the ball exactly where it needs to be placed for a ton of yards after catch, which is something that when this offense was at its best with Tom Brady, that's what they majored in. He is their absolute guy. Distribute the football all over the place and allow your Orlando Bloom type accuracy to show up.
Look, Dan, Mac Jones is going to be their guy, but as Tim said, last year Cam Newton was paid backup money, and he's being paid backup money to a certain extent this year, but he played with true backups last year, which is why the Patriots set a record during free agency and added weapons at wide receiver, tight end. They come in with an entirely new ensemble of weapons surrounding Cam Newton, who will be given the first chance to show that he can play with them. I think it's Cam's job to lose, but Mac Jones is going to take over at some point in time.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, the Bears might have tweeted out that Andy Dalton is their QB1, but Justin Fields looking to change that. Tim, how does Andy Dalton win the starting job in Chicago?
By doing a lot of the things that he did for the majority of his career in Cincinnati. You know, people can say what they want about Andy Dalton and his postseason record, but fact of the matter is he plays with great timing, anticipation, and accuracy, or has the majority of his career. If he can do those things and operate that offense efficiently, then I think he has a chance to basically be the guy that's the bridge to Justin Fields. And, you know, surrounded by good talent, coached by the right coaching staff, I think Andy Dalton can have some success doing that.
Yeah, Justin Fields becomes their starter if he allows himself to trust his survival instincts. Playing quarterback is about surviving, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. But when you have the athleticism and the long speed that Justin Fields does, then that allows you to play on the field faster. Also, the ability to get outside the pocket. You can get so creative in your run game when you, or your pass game, your movement game when you do that. And then broken plays. Justin Fields is going to allow this offense that has an average offensive line, an average skill group, because of his athleticism to shine. His survival instincts will be why he's their starter.
Now, to me, it reminds me a little bit when they drafted Mr. Trubisky. Again, the Bears proclaimed Andy Dalton QB1. That's the plan. He will be the starter on opening day, barring anything unforeseen. The issue will be what happens if and when Andy Dalton struggles at some point, has some interceptions, they lose some games, and all the fans in Chicago will be screaming for Justin Fields, which is going to happen. Can the Bears withstand all that and do what's in the best interest of the franchise long-term and hold off all those calls for Andy Dalton's job?
How about the 49ers? They traded up to get the third pick in the NFL draft to take Trey Lance, but Jimmy G has been the guy that led him to a Super Bowl. Tim, what's the key for Jimmy G starting in San Francisco?
Well, there's a couple keys, I think, Laura. One is he needs to get the initial crack at the starting job. He needs to play so great that it's hard for them to move on from him. But most importantly, he needs to stay healthy, because that's really been the biggest key for him in terms of, you know, his kind of lack of success in San Francisco. So I think all of those things need to happen for Jimmy Garoppolo to have a chance to have the starting job, at least for part of this upcoming season.
Yeah, Trey Lance needs to have his coach, Kyle Shanahan, want to play 11-on-11 football, not 10-on-11 football. You can do so much with Trey Lance because of his athleticism. We know Kyle wants to major in the play-action game. But just think back to what he used to do with RG3. This is when you have the mobile quarterback that you can play 11-on-11 football with. We're talking down in the red zone, the zone read game. We're talking down in the red zone, quarterback draw, especially in situational football. Kyle Shanahan can dial up so many different run game aspects utilizing Trey Lance as a runner. He can play 11-on-11 football. That's why he can be their starter.
I view Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Mac Jones really all in the same category. It's up to them how quickly they start. Depending on how quickly they pick up the offense and display the talents that enabled them to be the first-round picks that they were, that's how soon they'll start. They're all going to be given the chance to compete, and it's a question of who can shine the quickest. I keep having a voice in my ear that say Trey Lance, of all these quarterbacks, is the closest to being ready to start in his rookie year, so we'll see if that holds up in training camp this summer.
I like that voice in your ear, Adam. And listen, like, if you were going to look at it, he's the one that was drafted the highest, and he was the guy that the 49ers went up to get, not just because of his skill set, but because of his mental capacity and right. The way that he can process the game. All right, so, Tim, you said what Jimmy G would have to do for him to go ahead and keep that job or win it, however you want to look at it. But if you had to right now, Tim, pick a starter for the 49ers, who do you pick?
I'm picking Trey Lance. I also want to tell Schefter that little earpiece is to the producer. It's the producer in his ear, not just some random voice.
Here's it's not them.
Trey Lance needs to be their starter in San Francisco. Voices in our ears are not. Look, he basically played, you know, he had a year off of football. He played one game. He's been a starter at the collegiate level for 1 year. And I just don't think you can have him take another year off of football. I think the circumstances surrounding his situation, we've never seen anything like it. I mean, he needs to play. And so I actually don't think there's really a scenario where it makes sense at all for the Niners to play Jimmy Garoppolo. They need to play Trey Lance. And Kyle Shanahan and, you know, Dan alluded to this, you know, with 11-on-11 football. He's going to come up with ways to have him have some success. And I think they need to do that from the start.
See, not only when San Francisco traded up did it allow them to pick the quarterback that they wanted after Trevor Lawrence went 1 and Zach Wilson went 2, but it also enabled them to conduct testing interviews with these guys that I think other quarterbacks wouldn't have had the chance to do if they stayed at number 12. So they had extra access to every one of these quarterbacks who all wanted to go number 3. Extra time with Trey Lance, extra time with Mac Jones, extra time with Justin Fields. And the one takeaway was that Trey Lance's intelligence level was off the charts. His IQ was off the charts. The way he was received by his teammates was off the charts. So if all that is in place, clearly there's going to be a certain magnetism to him going into training camp.
Show me you can't do the job. That would be my mindset if I'm with San Francisco with Trey Lance. Show me you can't. I'm giving you every opportunity to prove to me that you're not ready. And if you're not ready, fine. But I know this offense inside and out. I've played for it for multiple years in the NFL. It is going to stress the center more intellectually than it is a young quarterback. Again, there are going to be so many wide open throws because of the threat of the run game with Trey Lance in this offense. It is going to be easier for him to play. And everyone, like, it's important for everybody to get reminded. This is not 40 years ago coming into the NFL. The game is so much more spread out. The RPO, coaches are so much smarter. Like, the ability to just get ball out of quarterback's hands, it's not that taxing to play a young quarterback in the NFL compared to 20, 30 years ago.
Dan, look what Kyle Shanahan did for RG3 his rookie year. He brought in basically the offense he ran in Baylor. He tailored it to him. He made it easy so that in his first NFL start, going into New Orleans, into one of the toughest places against the tough
like
team, he lit up the Saints. He lit them up because the offense was done to his advantage.
And Shanahan knew a lot of this would be on him when they made this decision to go ahead and get Trey Lance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back on NFL Live, and Packers mandatory minicamp well underway without Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love, you see him right there, QB1, under a magnificent spotlight. And reports had his performance yesterday is terrible, and today is amazing. So, yeah, this is going to be our world for a little while, right? Adam Schefter here. For the last 6 weeks, we've had these mandatory minicamps circled in the situation between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. What's the next step, though, of importance here?
Listen, the next step is training camp, and the Aaron Rodgers watch, which has been going on for months now, continues on to training camp while the Packers themselves wait to see whether Aaron Rodgers decides to report for training camp at that time. He missed the OTAs. He missed the virtual offseason program. He missed the mandatory minicamp. And my understanding is that the Packers president, the general manager, very well may make another run at trying to meet with Aaron Rodgers at the conclusion of this mandatory minicamp. So sometime here in the coming days or weeks, they are likely to try to meet with him again and again, see if they can get some type of different response that would enable him to show back up in Green Bay in time for training camp. But again, to this point, I don't know that anybody knows how this is going to turn out.
Just have to wait and see. It's the motto of the moment here. All right, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were obviously one of the last four teams in the playoffs from the NFC last year, along with the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, the Saints, and the Rams. So, Tim, it's hard for teams to make it to this point back-to-back, right? So who is a team that could be one of the final four teams out of the NFC this year, if you remember what happened last year, and you try to take everything into consideration going into this season?
I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow.
I mean, I look at the Cardinals, and I see a quarterback that is already a superstar. You know, I mean, you think about Kyler Murray, threw for about 4,000 yards a year ago, rushed for about 800 yards and 11 touchdowns. I think that he is an absolute headache to defend, and he's going to get even harder to defend going forward. I think where there can be growth is as there's been some changes on that defense. Vance Joseph, certainly we have his work cut out for him, but I think he'll do a good job on that side of the ball. I think the improvement can really come from Cliff Kingsbury. Does a good job with that offense. They design guys open. They're going to always be a handful on that side of the ball. I think it's just doing a better job of being a head coach. All the aspects of it in terms of in-game management, managing players, all of those different things that you do as a head coach, I think we'll see growth there in Arizona. Be one of these teams that we see near the top of the NFC.
Yeah, I love that one, Tim. I'd say the Washington football team. I think, first of all, this offense is going to be predicated on a ton of speed. It might be the fastest offense in the NFL. We're talking Terry McLaurin on the outside. Then they got Curtis Samuel in free agency. McLaurin is becoming one of the best receivers in the NFL, not just one of the best young ones. Fitzy's going to have a ton of weapons to throw to. Deami Brown out of North Carolina is a huge selection. Then Antonio Gibson at tailback. Those are four guys that have absolute gas offensively. Again, I'll say it. This could be the fastest offense in the NFL. Now, Fitzy has those roller coaster rides, right? Because he plays with no fear of failure. He's just going to play that YOLO chuck and duck style of football. But he plays his best when he's got a defense that can bail him out a little bit. And that's what he's got in Washington, is a dominant defense. I think Washington has the chance to be an outstanding football team and certainly winning that division and then making noise into the playoffs.
get back for a minute. Some good pick linebacker David Collins signed his. He had.
Careful.
How much? He got.
Oh, Laura, what I'm going to step. Laura, I'm going to step in here. Basically, yesterday after Zaven Collins signed, we tweeted out the news that he had signed, to which J.J. Watt was quick to respond, saying, how much? How much? Because I want to know what I'm able to get for breakfast. And so, basically, you see J.J. Watt's response right there. How much, Shefty? Got to know what the next breakfast order will be. I can't even read without my glasses on here, but essentially, J.J. Watt wants breakfast. And now that Zaven Collins is signed, as I told him, J.J., you can get whatever you want. Whatever you want from Zaven Collins, he's buying. That's what rookies do. I think it was just donut day, so I don't know that J.J. Watt is much interested in donuts. But again, I think J.J. Watt will be able to get what he wants for breakfast.
You guys hear me now?
Much more to come. Think we come back here on NFL Live as we try to get Laura's mic back working again.
Tim, my mic is back. There. But you know what?
Okay,
my mic
back.
My mic pack has fallen so far down we may never retrieve it. But anyway, I will now tell you what's coming up next for real. But by the way, shout out to Adam Schefter. Who needs me on this show? Just have Adam host the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lord said all year long that he was expected to retire. This was expected to be his last season.
We're underway in the Big Easy.
Breeze flushes to his right, throws, and that ball's picked off at the 40.
Breeze dropping as the pass. Oh, it's intercepted. Picked off by Devin White.
Drew Breeze probably walking away from the game.
Had a chance to play 20 years in the NFL. I want to be able to look back with incredible memories and knowing that I gave it my absolute best.
The Saints faced with the task of replacing a Hall of Fame quarterback, Taysom Hill versus Jameis Winston. Who wins this job and the chance to orchestrate the first step into life without Drew Brees? They have very different skill sets. So does Sean Payton need to be thinking about two different offensive schemes for his two QBs? He addressed that yesterday.
We've always tried to look closely at the strengths of our players, what they do well, and we'll build a little bit around that player accordingly, and that's something that we did when Drew first arrived here, and we would do with either of these two players. There's certain things that you might do just specific to one or the other, and yet there's still an overall philosophical approach that these guys will have learned to play offense, but it's not a whole different game plan for each one of them.
Adam, is there any sense around the league what the plan at quarterback will be for the Saints?
Well, Laura, I think they love both quarterbacks, truly, and I think that they're going to give them both a chance. Maybe it'll wind up looking a lot like last year with Jameis Winston stepping into the Drew Brees role and Taysom Hill continuing the Taysom Hill role, but I think they'll try to figure that out once they get to training camp. But I know they feel very strongly about both quarterbacks. They're very impressed with Jameis Winston, very. They're paying Taysom Hill a lot of money. And so it's hard to say exactly how it's going to shake out, but I think we're in a significant time in the franchise's history. We saw earlier in the show how hard it is to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback, and the Saints are in the same situation that we talked about for the Packers, now having to replace Drew Brees.
It also feels like Sean Payton wants to prove that he could change things up for Jameis Winston, right? So, Dan, if it is Jameis, do you expect to see him take a huge leap forward, right? The leap that we always felt like his talent warrants.
100%, because it's Sean Payton's background. If we look at Sean Payton's track record and his work with quarterbacks, if you go back to the New York Giants, what their quarterback performance was there before he got there and then the year he got there, and then their quarterback performance when he went to the Dallas Cowboys the year before and when he got there, and then their quarterback performance by Drew Brees the year before and then with Sean Payton. You're talking about 1,000 more yards, four touchdowns, four less interceptions, almost 10 points higher in QBR. We're talking about Jameis Winston having the opportunity because of and with Sean Payton to have the best year he's had in the NFL. And I think, you know, certainly Sean schematically wants to run the football, but it's a good fit because they want to use that for their play-action chunk game, something that Jameis Winston does very well. But then Sean also wants to do the, hey, I'm going to give you these layup throws, these gimmies. Just take these 5 or 6 yards, please. And I would argue that Jameis has never had that in the NFL. He's never had that. And when Sean has those 5, 6, 7 plays built into every game that he's saying, Jameis, just take these 5 or 6 yards. Just as important as it is to get rid of those turnovers, if he says, yes, coach, I'm just going to take these 6 easy yards here on a consistent basis, Jameis Winston's going to play really good in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think Jameis is the guy there, Dan. I mean, you look at a couple factors here, and I know Taysom is making a lot of money, as Adam referenced. Here's the deal. Taysom Hill's going to be about 31 years old at the beginning of the season. Jameis Winston's 27. Jameis Winston has as many touchdown passes thrown in the NFL as Taysom Hill has attempts. Jameis Winston, people shouldn't forget. I know we're kind of out of sight, out of mind this past year. He had some really good moments. And so you're right about coaching out some of those interceptions and turnovers. But to your point about some of the easy completions and throws, that helps make that happen. So, look, I think that the Saints, and Adam referenced this as well, look, moving on from Drew Brees is going to be hard. The other thing that is hard is defending that Saints offense when Taysom Hill is lined up as a tailback, then a tight end, then a wide receiver, then he's in the backfield as a quarterback without a personnel change in the running quarterback power right down your throat. To me, I think the best thing would be to use Taysom the way they've been using him and go ahead and make that move to Jameis.
Yeah, it makes their offense so unique, for sure. Dan, let's live in a world where Jameis Winston is what we think he could be, right? And he's excellent, or at least pretty good. How great is this Saints team then?
Yeah. Well, they lost 2 key players offensively, Ruddy. You know, Jared Cook moving on from tight end and then Emmanuel Sanders going up to Buffalo are big losses. That's a lot of production that they counted on. That's another person opposite Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders or Jared Cook down the middle of the field. Still a very good offensive line, and Alvin Kamara, one of the best pieces in the league. But they're going to have to find people on the perimeter and at tight end now to kind of fill that production to grow along with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, it does speak to the point of having Taysom Hill as a weapon that can help. Time for one more thing before we go. And listen, we got a couple of quarterbacks in the show, so we thought maybe we would give a little love to the quarterback bot. This is Justin Herbert looking swole out there. He looks like Tim when Tim played, a little less like Dan. But what do you guys think when it comes down to the ideal QB bot? Oh, no, I think Dan's taking his shirt off. I mean, maybe it froze.
Maybe I'm going to have to change these push-ups and bodyweight squats because Herbert looks thick and I look like a 12-year-old swimmer.
So, yeah, you do.
I'm going to have to figure out a different way to look like that.
Has Dan broken 200 pounds yet? Do we know if he's broken 200 pounds yet?
We'll see you tomorrow.